The Who's Keep Rising, A Visit to Wake, The Northeast of the ACC, The Doug Fresh Question of the Week, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jay Willie Show. I am Mark Jerome alongside and to my right, Coach Jason Williford. We are sponsored by Ryan's and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Jay Wills, what do you think of this incredible new format that my man Spence, our super producer, Little Ski, put together?
I'm digging it. I got to take my glasses off because I'm in a new setting. I'm in my wife's office, so I got to get closer to the camera, but I'm loving this format. This is big time.
Spence continues to get it innovative. And time I feel like I make a little advance in technology, Spence just gets more separation.
No, and this is
that much dumber.
This is sweet. I'm telling you, I like it. I like it.
Really nice. And he's mastering like the little tricks that he puts together with this thing. By the way, Jay Willie Cup, T Dub's got.
Yep.
It basically, when it turns white, I think white, there's an indication.
Is heat, right? Is it heat?
Exactly.
Right.
And so Danielle, my girlfriend, her mother comes over. When her mother comes over, this is the cup that she wants to use when she drinks.
There you go.
She says, nope. I said, you want one of the big mugs? Nope. I want my Jay Willie cup.
The Jay Willie mug. I think my sister's got one of those.
She's a big fan of the show, so I got to give a big shout out to Barbara. Thank you. You guys keep rising. You guys are doing well.
We're playing good ball. Knock on wood. We can keep it up. But we're finding a groove. It's good. But we got to lock in and just, you know what I'm going to say, take them one at a time. But I like where we're heading. And I think, you know, guys got to continue to be ready who aren't getting a lot of minutes. And we just got to continue to play with confidence.
Do you ever wake up in the morning or think about throughout the day and go, I'm the associated coach. I am part of a staff and part of a program that is a perennial winner, that is in the top 10 almost every year since you guys have been there. I won a national championship, whatever it was, four years ago, right? Do you, those things, it's got to come across your mind sometimes. Like,
you know, because honestly, Mark, I know this is going to sound crazy, but, you know, I don't know if I do or I sit back and reflect because you're always so busy. It's on to the next. It's recruiting, which is constant. You know, it's game, each game. So, you know, we're in the thick of a race. We're in the hunt. So we're fighting for a title. We want to get to the tournament. So you don't really think about all other people talk about it and bring it up. But quite honestly, you don't, because it's the grind. You're just constantly in the grind.
People ask you, do you ever stop and just enjoy it for a moment? Have you been asked that question?
I have. And quite honestly, I don't, you may sit back and enjoy a victory, a hard fought win for a few hours, but then it's like, okay, who do we have next? All right. We got to prepare and, you know, all right, we got to get in the gym and get these guys shots. And so.
But that almost makes me feel like you expect to be here, right? It's just part of the character and the identity of the UVA basketball program.
So I think, you know, it's a certain standard we have now. And I think that was part of what Tony wanted to come and try to do when we first got here and we were laying the foundation. And we wanted to be, you know, right with the blue bloods, you know, the Dukes and the Carolinas and contend. And I always said to him, like, when I first got here, I said, Tony, we don't have to be Duke and Carolina, but we can be right there and compete year in and year out. Like, you're not going to be Carolina and Duke, but you know what? You could be right there making them earn and making those guys a little nervous, because if you're competing with them annually, then you're really good. And that's what we tried to do. You know, we wanted to be different. We wanted to do it a different way. But we felt like there were things here at Virginia, the fan base, you know, the resources where you could compete, not just in the ACC, but on the national scene.
If they're blue bloods, what is UVA? Since you're saying we might not be a blue blood, but we're right there.
No, we're blue collar. We could care less about being a blue blood. You know, we're gonna be who we are. We're gonna do it our way, and we're gonna let the results speak for themselves.
And they most certainly have, obviously, and you guys continue to set the record for wins. It's gonna be hard to, you know, you're gonna have to. No one's gonna catch you. We talked about that last week, including your last win at Wake.
Good win. Good win. Hostile environment. Good team. I mean, they're a tough team. Got a ton of experience. Got a really good point guard. They got guys that have, you know, that can score, and a veteran. You know, they're older. And we knew that environment. That those fans were on us, man. It was a fun environment. Those are the games you know. That's why the kids come to school. You want to be in that type of setting. And I thought we came out like gangbusters to start that game. Shot the ball extremely well. And then we knew they were gonna make a run, and they made a run, and we got in some foul trouble. But I love the fight, and I thought our guys showed some resolve being able to play under those circumstances.
You guys jumped to a big lead. What was the strategy going into the game to help build that lead?
Well, we knew, like, we had to defend Appleby. He's a dynamic point guard. So it wasn't going to just be Kihei or Reese or whoever was guarding him. It was collectively we had to do it. But, you know, they've got three-point shooting. They've got big guys that can score and are physical inside. And so, you know, they've got a guard. I want to say Hildrip, I think is his name. Yep. I mean, puts his head down, touches the paint. He's he's like a post player at the guard position where he's always downhill and putting pressure on you. You know, in the paint, he got to the free throw line. He probably shot 10 free throws that game. But we knew we had to defend at a high level. But our offense showed up that game.
You guys did a good job on Appleby.
We made him work for it. We made him work.
And, you know, Tony, TB, and the staff, you guys did something that I don't know, I may have seen one other time. You put in, I think, Reese, you inserted him back in the game in the first half with two fouls.
We did.
At what point did you guys decide to do that, and what was the factor? I think he went out, and you guys had a big lead with like 8 minutes left to go in the first half.
Well, and so he picked up two, and if I'm not mistaken, Kihei picked up two.
Yep.
And we couldn't be out there without a point guard, and so we just challenged him to play smart and please don't get your third. And fortunately, I think we got through the half without either of them picking up their third. But it was a roll of the dice. But it desperate times call for desperate measures. We had to put one back.
Why did you decide Reese over Kihei?
We could have gone either way. I just think, you know, Reese maybe a little more size. I don't know why we actually decided who we put in. It had to be one of them, and reach maybe a little more judicious in reaching than Kihei. So we said, we'll go with him.
If I'm not mistaken, he almost picked up his third on a reach-in.
Yeah,
I
thought, to be honest, Mark, I mean, I thought some of those were a little ticky-tack too. But you know, it's the way they called it. And we've got those guys got to adjust to the way the game's being called and give a little ground. But they made it tough for Appleby. I thought both guys, whenever they want him, he had to earn his.
So that was my next question about the refs. Did you think that the refereeing was fair? Do you think it was a little slighted that Wake had the advantage?
No, I think the way they play offensively, they just put pressure on the refs to make those calls because they're trying to get downhill. And that's, you know, that's a hard way to officiate because they're putting so much pressure on you. You got to call something. I mean, they're attack. And so I was hoping that they were going to call some of those pointed emphasis 3 seconds that they were talking about this year that we hadn't seen many of. Because I thought there were a couple times where they were in the paint and pivoting. And you could have called. It was close a couple times.
Yep. And the fouls ended up being 20 to 18. It's just that your guards, who are, you know, maybe the most critical players on this year's team, or so far at least.
Right.
And then it
hurt us at times defensively because they were playing cautious. And so they were backing up, and we were giving them opportunities in the paint. Whereas I think if we weren't in foul trouble, we would have held our ground and stood our ground a little more and made it even more difficult. But right. I remember Kihei backing away and Reese backing away, even Armand giving a little ground. But I thought, for the most part, hard fought game. Road games are tough. Trying to win on the road, it's good to get that one.
Yeah, and when you talk about, I mean, Kihei had to back up, and he's making Appleby look like, oh man, Appleby got it going for a minute. Missed a chippy that may have changed the game.
Oh, we got fortunate. He missed two at the rim late in that game. You know, we're very fortunate. You know, Ryan Dunn picks up his fourth. As well as he played in that game, you know, I'm not sure we wanted any of those guys off the floor at that time.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, with Kihei and Reese, when they're in the game and you're up, and Armand, who had a great first half, shooting, scoring, his defense was solid, I thought, the whole game. But Reese and Kihei, you know, the 18-point lead or 17-point lead, they come out the game and the lead evaporates to 8-7 points. That's how impactful they are. And that, you know, going back to, I think maybe one other time, I personally, not that it hasn't happened, but it's rare when you guys will sub in somebody with two fouls in the first half.
No, it hardly ever happens.
Yeah. And I know that Ty got smart about it. I think it took him midway through his second year, where he basically backed away from anybody once he got one. He's coming out of the game.
No, it hardly ever do we play guys with two. And you know, we got some depth. You know, McNeely made some big threes, big shots. Dunn was phenomenal, I thought, defensively, and his energy. Yeah, that tip dunk was crazy. Armand made a big three late in that game on a set we drew up for him. So guys stepped up when they needed to.
Yep. Talk about Ryan Dunn, 30 minutes. Played the second most minutes for you guys. What's going on with Ryan where you guys are saying, okay, he's going to be our next guy. He's going to be our go-to guy for now on the bench.
Yeah, I think it's his versatility, being able to defend, his athleticism. I mean, his length is real. I mean, the way he contests shots, the way he goes and rebounds. And you know, he's earned it, to be honest. I mean, he's produced when he's been out there. And so, you know, he hit a big three. Still got to get him to be a little selective when he's putting his head down and driving. But that's the youth. I love, he's got tons of confidence. As Raph would say, he's got onions. So I love him for that.
I said the same thing, just understanding pace. After the game and the post-game show we had, you just got to understand pace a little bit. You don't have to go every time at the same speed. But he's, you know, first year. So that's going to come.
It's, you know, he's only, you know, the sky's the limit. He's only going to continue to get better. As the more he plays, the more experience, the more development he gets. He's going to be good. I'm excited about what's in store for him down the road. But, you know, he's a worker, and hard work never fails.
And then Isaac plays 23 minutes, I think, and he's just playing better and better every game.
Well, he's taking the parking brake off, as Tony asked him to. He's let that emergency brake go. So he's been good. He's, you know, he's looking at the rim. He's shooting when he's open. You know, defend it. We still got to get him to get the shooters a little sooner. He let what's that kid's name? 30. What's his name?
Monsanto.
Yeah. I mean, that dude had a quick release. He's just got to understand who he's guarding and you know, if he gets going like he was going, you just got to be a little closer to him and make him put it down. But all of that stuff comes with experience.
Yeah. Monsanto's got hot for a minute.
Fun to watch. But he's six, shooting the ball with that quick release. So if you're not there on the catch, he doesn't even see you.
Okay, but how hard is it to defend out of the pack line someone shooting with range like Monsanto's was shooting? He was shooting some deep ones.
He was, but I also think there's the anticipation of when to leave the gap so that you're there, especially if your guy's not beat. And then there are times where you just gotta, you know, I can't be as much gap conscious as I am my man, especially on the guy that's got it going like that.
Right. I hear you. Let's quickly talk about the bigs. Right. Are we concerned? I still have a concern that still might need a little more balance. If you guys are going to shoot like you did last week, then no big deal, right? Especially the way he shot in the first half. But even the second half, he still shot well, too. It's going to be hard to beat UVA, to beat you guys, if you're going to shoot like that. And you beat a good team in conference on the road. That's a big win, right? That's a really well-played game. But if you're not shooting 45% from three,
you got to defend. You got to defend, and you're right. Like I think I know where you're going with this. You know, we're gonna need, you know, Caden and Poppy and Gardner to give us a little more, you know, and be ready. And you know, JG's starting but you know he's got to get back to where he's knocking down that 15, 17 footer. You know, getting to the line and making those free throws and shooting them with confidence and finishing. And I think just not worry about makes and misses right now, or at least misses, and just shoot, do what you do. You scored a whole lot of points in your career. Just do what you do. And both Caden and Pop, you just got to be ready when the numbers call. But you're right. We're going to need those guys moving forward, especially, you know, we've got BC coming up. They've got some size. You know, you got Edwards at Syracuse. You got Carolina again with Baycott and Nance. Like, you're going to need, you know, our big guys to at least defensively be ready to go and defend and rebound.
So Caden came in for a short period in the first half and then got the quick hook. Was there something you guys saw that you weren't happy with, or something you saw that, hey, I'm not sure this is the right fit for him right now?
You know, quite honestly, I thought his minutes were good. I thought he gave us good minutes. But I think, you know, we needed to match up defensively with Dunn on the floor. And we needed to pair Dunn with somebody that could score. And that was where I think Ben was able to do that. And what we're doing now offensively, you know, Ben's a problem when he's the five. And so, it's just more matchup, Mark, and who we're playing and how the flow of the game's going. But I thought Caden, and it wasn't long at all, but I thought he was solid in those minutes he got. It wasn't anything he did. It was just more kind of the way the game was going. And once I thought once Ryan got in the game and you know what he was doing from a production standpoint, defensive standpoint, right, it was going to be hard to keep him off the floor.
Sure. And the way he's rebounding too.
100%.
What were you sensing during the Wake Forest comeback?
You know, good team. We had to sit both guards for a while, right? We played McNeely some at the point in that second half.
Don't get Dougie started. Dougie thinks McNeely's a point guard.
Yeah, but you know, we hardly ever – I don't think we practiced with that, much less play with that lineup, Mark, this year. So, you know, it was different. We turned it over, you know. They got a transition bucket, and so it was, you know, can we weather this with these guys? All right, when are we putting them back in? And are we going to put both, or are we just going to put one? And there was some debate on the bench. You know, I only wanted one. I didn't want them both at the same time. And somebody said, well, they both can't foul out at the same time, so just put them both out there. And it ended up working. I think they played – maybe from the under eight, the rest of the game.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
So what was the speech? What was the strategy, and what was said at timeout to weather the storm, to like, guys, take it easy, calm down? What were the words that were said?
Well, keep defending, and then, you know, just get good shots. Take good shots, get quality shots, and don't get sped up. But I kept looking at the clock, like, all right, come on, we get those dudes on the floor as soon as we can. Let's just weather this and let's maintain somewhat of a lead.
You know, with Spence's newfound innovative platform that he recently discovered, we're able to see questions appear in front of us.
I see that.
Yeah. So let's get to this question from Kyle. Thank you, Kyle, for listening and watching. Let's ask her this question, and we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but not necessarily this particular. Actually, we weren't this specific. Whose idea was it to put Reese and Kihei back in the game together with four fouls?
Yeah, I just
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I know it wasn't me. I told you I wanted one. I didn't want both, and I want to say in one of those huddles, either I think it might have been Brad who said they both can't foul out. Just put them both. We need them both. Put them both back out. And we end up going with both of them.
Makes sense. They both can't foul together on the same foul.
Yeah.
All right. Great win. Always, we talk about this often. We mentioned it earlier. On the road, really good team with really good players. So that's when do you start thinking about, okay, we got this team on the road. Do you think ahead about that? It'd be great if we win that game.
No.
Just one at a time.
No, you take them one at a time. You know that. We got
Don't
Boston
College.
We got Boston College next. We got to worry about Boston College. And then we'll figure out, all right, who's after that. I mean, you know, as the scouting guys, you know, you're always ready for the next opponent. But, you know, our focus has got to be singular for our guys. I mean, we can't start thinking about if this team wins and we're on the road and then none of that matters. You know, you got to just handle the next Handle the next game.
But 9 games in the ACC, 7-2, 9 games left in the ACC, and you're not thinking about – it's important to go to be in the top 2, 3, 4, finishing in the top 4 so you get a bye or double bye, right, in the tournament. That's helpful, right, especially if guys start getting a little hurt, guys are a little banged up, guys get a little sick.
Yeah, no, you want to do as best you can. And you let the results fall where they may, but you start looking ahead. You can't do that. You got to prepare for the next one, and that's the most important, and that's the biggest one.
All right, well said. I won't keep badgering about that. Try to get you to change your answer. You'd mentioned earlier, Wake is a really, really tough environment, hostile. In the ACC, what are the toughest places to play? Of course, there's Cameron. Is Cameron one?
Well, yeah, Cameron by far is the loudest and one of the toughest places to play. Just because it's small, they're on top of you, it's hot. You know,
let me add to that. They're rude and nasty.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we were right by the band in the student section, right? Our bench, man, they got into it with the guys at the end of the bench. It reminded me of Maryland back in the day when I played. Maryland was one of the places you hated to go. I mean, they called you all kind of stuff and would throw stuff at you. Playing at Cole Fieldhouse wasn't fun. But man, I'm trying to think. Duke, Carolina gets loud when they, I know they say it's a wine and cheese crowd, but it gets loud because that student section can be rowdy.
And the ushers.
I don't know about the ushers.
With an usher, and one of my boys is watching, he's like, text me, leave, stop fighting with the ushers. So
yeah, nah, you know, I Syracuse is tough just because of the backdrop, and you're shooting in that cavernous dome. Louisville, when they're good.
What a gorgeous stadium Louisville is.
And you know, we've always played them when there was some type of whiteout or blackout or something. They always had something in there.
You gotta love that place, though.
We like it. It's been good to us. We like that. We like that place. Florida State has given us problems. You know, we cracked that nut this year, being able to get a road win down there. But we've had some success, man. We've had some success on the road.
You said the top 2 or 3 places, it's just so hostile. We love going in there and winning because it's so hostile.
For me as a player, I remember going, like, being able to shut them up.
Yeah.
You go in there and they're loud and they're on you, and you can hear a pin drop when it's over. That's the best.
No question. And that's why, yeah, I got a big thrill out of Duke when you guys beat Duke 2018 at Duke, right? Because they were talking so much trash.
So much trash.
We were behind the bench. And next year, they were harassing TB's daughter.
Hey, I got to tell a story. So speaking of Anna, coach's daughter, she's a Wake. She's at Wake undergrad, and she was behind our bench. And I'm not sure she's yet to stop talking. She made so much fuss, and she was going back and forth with the student section at Wake. It was, you could hear it was it was fun. Like, I enjoy that because that's good banter, right? That's good, you know. That's just good competition. And she told him, look, I earned the right. I go here, so I can tell you to shut up. Oh, it was fun. Yeah. And she is, don't mistake it. You know, most people are fans of their undergrad. No. Blood is thicker than water. She is a Wahoo. She's rocking with the Hoos.
I'm glad you made that point clear. I'm glad everybody understands where Anna's allegiance is.
No question.
Yeah, no, that's great. All right, as you guys, we talked about you guys continue to rise and number 7 now, moving up, just playing really well. You got BC coming up. BC has not been that good this year.
And I'm actually, I've got them on as we're doing. They're playing Louisville right now. So I'm peeking over my monitor and trying to, I don't have my glasses. It looks like Louisville's up.
They're up 8 early. They did beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. Everybody's beating Notre Dame these days at Notre Dame. Dougie, no comment. If he wants to bring up the ND tomorrow again. they played Carolina fairly close. So how do you keep the guys competitive and how do you keep them focused and saying, no, anybody can beat anybody, especially first-year guys and guys without a lot of experience. But even the guys, too, who have a lot of experience, who are like, we're playing so well, you know, no big deal. It's only
well, you got to try to protect that as much as possible. Like, we can't think we're better than we are. You know, we're ranked, whatever we're ranked. All of that can change in one game. And if anyone knows that, Virginia fans, we know anybody can be beat on any given day. And so, you know, you prepare. They're going to be tough. Coach Grant does a good job. Defensively, they're gonna fight. It's gonna be physical. You know, they've got some experience. I mean, they got some guys who played, and you know, I think they pride themselves on defending and being tough and physical. And so it's not gonna be easy. I mean, they're not gonna come in here thinking, you know, hey, you know, we're just gonna give you this game. We got to come to play.
Yep. Every game, right, in ACC, every game in conference, don't underestimate your team, the opposition. We all, as coaches and parents, and we need to remind our kids that, right, our team that. I know you like to go one game at a time. We're just going to spend a brief minute on Cuse. Just real short, real quickly. Did you watch Cuse in Carolina last night?
I watched it. I watch, you know, when I can, I try to tune in and watch as many ACC games as possible.
They're playing well. They're playing better. Their records, if they won last night, they'd be 7-3, I believe.
No, and look, you got to make shots. The zone is always a headache. Yeah. They pressed a little more last night where they, you know, they got Carolina behind the shot clock with that three-quarter court press. And we know about Syracuse's press. All too well. You know, it's going to be a challenge. You know, every game's a challenge.
I'm on a group chat. One of my bunch of guys, good friends, are Syracuse guys, and they love Syracuse, right? And of course, the fouls are always, you know, Syracuse never committed a foul. And if Syracuse is fouled and it's not called, forget it. Like, there were a couple of questionable calls last night against, Junior Mintz, as he's called, right?
Judah?
Judah Mintz, who my guy's called Junior Mintz, right? And he had a couple offensive fouls, and Roger Ayers was doing the game. You know Roger?
Yeah.
Right? I love Roger. What a good dude he is. And, you know, you know why he can't do UVA games anymore, right?
No.
His daughter goes to UVA.
I think she graduated.
Well, she did, right? Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But I don't know if that means he still can't do them because she's an alum.
No, I think he's allowed. We've had him, so I think he couldn't while she was in school. Right. I think that's
yeah. I've had multiple conversations. Yeah, good dude, good ref, and my guys are on the group chat last night talking about it's unfair because Carolina's a Southern team, and they're getting the calls because of, the ACC is a Southern Conference, was known as a Southern Conference, and we're from the North, so that they're getting calls like, what?
We all think we're getting hosed when they don't go our way. It's just the nature of the game.
Absolutely, right? Everybody thinks that. UVA fans think that sometimes. And, you know, not that referees are human and can miss calls and can miss two or three in a row, right? But to say that we're not getting calls because we're from the North and they're from the South in Carolina, right? You know, I don't want them to start that on Monday night. I don't want to hear that.
Just tell them go and support their team. That's all.
Oh, we do. We get into it. We get into it. It's fun banter. Dougie, you out there?
Hey, Mark, you guys got to help me, man. This was so. I see some chats up. What is that?
That's Mark. Mark officiates.
Not the other. Oh, okay. I don't need to hit that.
No, it's your show. You think Arsenio Hall goes and like turns the lights on for himself?
So let me just say this. Last week when I touched something, I was disconnected. Right. I'm not touching anything.
That was a phone call.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm not messing with it. I'm on my phone again. So I'm not doing I'm not gonna hit the chat button.
Once again, Marky took every single question I had. I'm not kidding. I'm gonna try. I had very
smart and well informed.
I have a lot of opinions on the weight game. I was very, very in tune for that thing. First of all, do you know the area code for South Bend, Indiana?
No, I don't.
look up Anthony Solomon. Slow's number is South Bend.
I'm not messing with my phone fresh until I get off of this.
What is it, Mike? So you guys brought up a good. Jason said an interesting thing talking about the comeback. We knew it was coming. A little bit of coach speak, but you sensed it, right? As a coach, not as a player. Would you rather just blow everybody's doors, or do you need those games? It's not terrible as long as we win if they come back a little, right?
No, I think those games prepare you for what's to come postseason, right? When mm-hmm. possessions matter and you're in those types of games, and you know that's a good offensive team. So we knew one, they were gonna make a run, yep. But two, we weren't going to continue to shoot the ball the way we were shooting the ball. You know, it's the nature of the game, right? Shots are going to come and go, and you got to be able to sustain those droughts.
Well, that's one of my questions. Like, people talk about heat checks, and everybody, just whoever shot it after the first eight shots of the game, it was going in. Obviously, Armand had a special, special half. Do you think the shot selection in the second half for us was where it should be vis-a-vis, you know, I'm 5 for 5. I'm taking 5 more no matter what. Do you think it was? I thought it was a little bit suspect at times.
Well, there were a couple heat checks and we got a little quick with some of the shot quality.
What does heat check mean, by the way? You got too high?
That's those NBA guys when they make 2, 3, 4 in a row and then they're shooting the next one regardless of where they are on the court.
They're checking their heat.
So I thought, you know, what's that NBA, what's the NBA video game where you catch fire?
Oh, they say heat check. I don't play video games. I never played them. That's you.
He's on fire. Somebody else.
Ah, now I know.
Yeah.
I learned twist last week. I learned zoom last week. I got heat check.
So, no, I think you're right, Doug. I thought, you know, a couple deep threes that we took that we didn't have to, and some early quick ones in the shot clock.
Because most all the first half shots were made, not, you know, tough shots, good, great shots, but like within what you guys are doing. There's a great video, and one of my questions is, I'm coming to it. There's a great video where BVP in the second half, he catches it one handed, hits the top of the key, immediate pass to Kihei immediately to RD for the three.
Yeah,
and that's like,
we're a bunch of guys.
That's real ball movement.
Yeah, yeah. NBA jams. There we go.
Thank you, Corey.
So, is BBP the best perimeter big passer you've ever had, or who would you compare him to in turn? He's a very good passer.
No, he'd be up there. Yeah, I'm trying to think of
specifically on the perimeter, like the guy that can come out and touch it and make. You know, he's not throwing it to get it away. Isaiah's good.
Isaiah was good. I thought Hauser was good. But he's different, especially with his pass fakes. He's got a great ball fake, pass fake.
I think he knows when to make a quick one and when to like survey,
right?
Without getting in trouble, right?
Right.
Was our thing. So Marky brought up good feel. You guys brought up, he's also 35. You guys brought up Appleby. Like, was there a sense that he's going at the guys with two fouls, three fouls, four fouls to get him out? But what that I thought Kihei in particular, adjusted to it well, and then Appleby missed a couple of shots that he probably makes if he's not trying to get that foul. Like, kind of got baited, which I thought was nice. I'm sorry, Mark. Any questions here? Here's a question. Do players ever come to you? I know you guys, you break up and you have the bigs and whoever has the guards, et cetera. Do guys ever tell you, I'm not talking about a specific player this year, last year, any year, but say I'm my confidence is down, coach. Do guys ever confide that way? You guys were talking about confidence before. I'm curious. Like, I don't think any of us would ever say it.
No, I don't think they say it necessarily, but you can see when a guy might need a hug or you know, let me go talk to him after practice or shoot him a text or something just to encourage. And you know, a lot of that just comes from, you know, experience. I mean, we all played the game and you know what guys are going through. You know what it's like. And so as a coach, those are things, and we wear a lot of hats. And so you got to be able to recognize that. And then you pour into them, you get extra shots, you know, stuff to just keep them motivated and into it.
You might just grab one guy without explaining why and say, let's come here, let's do this, let's work on
that. Let's go shoot, you know, shoot here, come over here and let's talk.
I get it. That's right.
Meet me for breakfast on ground somewhere, you know.
Who pays? Jay Willie. Can you pay for it?
No, them dudes got NIL money. They treat me.
Yeah, they should be. That's why they got it. So the fan, I know the guys on forum, they live and die with the recruiting, Jay. People want to know, are you guys on the road this week? You got a couple days. At least an extended week before the game is. Have you been out anywhere? Can you tell anybody, or they love it?
I have not. We got to be careful with the number. They've reduced the number of recruiting days this year. So, so we've got to be smart. And I think Orlando might have gone out. Kyle's going out. Maybe tomorrow.
Undisclosed locations, or you can tell them. You can tell people that.
No, I can't. I can't tell you. If I tell you, I have to. You couldn't. It's top secret.
Got nothing to do with me. If they're in South Bend, Indiana, right now, that's
no. But no. We So you know, we go out when we can during the year. But this week was more prep for BC. And get some rest. You know, we got some guys that are logging a ton of minutes. So just being smart. And they're back in school and just trying to get them acclimated again to classes and study hall and all that stuff.
So Mark stole my other one. Good, Mark.
What was the schedule this week? Did you practice on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or did you guys get the guys off Sunday and Monday?
What's today? Today is Wednesday. So we were off. And then we went today, went light yesterday. So we're just being smart, getting them some rest, massages, treatments, whatever they need.
All of it. all of it. I was going to ask about Isaac being able to play the point, but we saw you. We almost had to see it.
He played the point.
I know. When they both went out, right, with the four fouls. Jay, I'm telling you, Mark, we weren't on together at this point, Mark. At 8 minutes left, somebody hit me, and I was like, he said something about Kihei and Reese shouldn't go back in until blah, blah. I go, false. I would put both of them back in right now. I'm going to tell you why. There's 8 minutes left. The more minutes they're not in the game, there's no more games. Does that make sense? So what's the difference if they're on the court or not on the court? The difference is they're not on the court. It's not that they're on the court. And as you guys said, guards can control fouls a little bit better, I think. So despite that, East Tennessee was screaming at him.
Except we put Reese back in and he got his fourth right away, didn't he? Like, whenever we put him in, he picked, boom, just like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm like, all right, Reese, we told you to be smart. But at least to close it, I thought they both did a great job.
I thought you guys covered everything, Mark. I'm sorry. I didn't have much to add. For as tough as Wake's guards, and I watched their full game against Carolina, and they went straight at it. Same thing, Monsanto. Straight up, puts his body on you, rises up. But their bigs, Jay, you might not want to say that their bigs are not so tough in terms of a physicalness. Like you said, Gilbert, whatever, the European.
The redhead's tough as all outdoors.
He's from England. He is tough, but he's not a big. The bigs weren't.
Tough. But I thought both of their fives are pretty physical. And then the number 11, I want to say is Miller.
I don't know bigs.
I number 11. I all I know is he's pretty skilled because he was ACC Player of the Week, maybe.
Okay.
Coming out of that. Had a couple good games, more of a stretch four, could shoot it. I thought we did a good job. I tell you what they are outside of Appleby. They got legit size, man. They're a big team.
Oh yeah. Which they I think, Marky, I think people were kind of surprised that, you know, like if you use the word small ball, right, Mark? Like, I don't know if you guys aren't. The reason how you go smaller instead of trying to match the size, maybe because, to my point, they're not as tough as I think you might think they are. We play them again this year or no? Sorry.
I don't think so. I think we got them once.
Tournament. Yeah, you guys covered it, man. I just wanted to put something. I watched it closely, man. That's one of the best wins vis-a-vis everything. You saw burst from us offensively to start, good defense. You saw us take the best shot from them. At the right time, you saw the refs calling everything for them at the right time because by the end of the game, it comes back to us a little bit. So, master.
Well, that was a gritty, gritty win on the road.
Wake was always hard, man. My memory is long from back in our day. Wake was tough.
Dougie, real quick, what do you remember being the most hostile environment when you were on the team?
I mean, it was like Cameron was, but once you turned around and looked and just saw everybody was nerds, you didn't really care. But you go to Maryland and you're hearing people say things about your mom that you're like, dude, like that's just not right.
Maryland's fans were nasty.
Hey, I've worked Cameron up here Cameron was nerdy stuff. Maryland was nasty. I've worked with dudes up here in New York from they went to Maryland. Like, yeah, we were bad.
No, it was personal stuff. Like it was, and they yes. Like I said, they would throw quarters and batteries and they did all kind of stuff but like Cameron was just kind of good.
Yeah, it was fun and games.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Fun.
Little John, you had some nasty people. And NC State, Reynolds was low-key,
but fresh, those venues things have changed since our time. Like they're so much bigger. Exactly.
It's further like, away.
Yeah, Reynolds was a tough place. I tell you, Little John, when the football team was behind the basket,
oh, that's right.
That was intimidating.
Yep. Yep, for sure.
You didn't want to run into the stands and save a ball and fall into the football team.
And you were bang bang to the stands. The stands were 3 feet away.
You were getting a couple body shots as you were in the stand. Yeah. Like it was crazy going in there.
And big corn fed boys. Yep.
I forgot. Yeah, Mark, Wake was
tough because of the game, but the arena wasn't tough, in my opinion, back then.
Yeah, no. I forgot about Little John.
Florida State was fun because they had a chant going. It felt like a professional arena to me back then, Jay. I don't know if you remember that down in Tallahassee when we played. It was a different. Yeah. It was kind of a different feeling, laid back. You know, Florida maybe.
We've always struggled down there, so it's the same. It's the same building.
Once Jason and his crew came in, we had a lot more fun with it, I think, than my first couple of years. So, and don't forget Carolina. Once that second half ref letting everybody jump over your back and there's no foul calls down there, that's another story. But that gym was great too. The Dean Dome's great to play in.
The Dean
Dome. Right, I'm sorry, man.
The Dean Dome is it? To me is different because when you look up and you just see all the guys, the history of who played in that place, like that. That's what makes the Dean Dome
gorgeous, and especially. In our time, we were all fans, but then you played against dudes. So did I, but especially you, Rashid and Stackhouse. You played against them, who are now up there, right?
It's crazy. Like just to look up, you're like, God, they had. I mean, it's just the tradition.
Yep, gorgeous stadium. NC State's nice stadium. Louisville, of course, the Yum Center is gorgeous.
Well, you got like, so NC State and Louisville, those are two pro arenas, right? You got pro hockey in one. And
oh, now, Yum right? Center, I guess.
Yum Center's big time.
Yum Center's got the bourbon bar now, too.
Oh, I've heard that's like the nicest in the country. I've never been. And I'm forgetting one for our time, Jason. The one that reminded me the most of U-Haul was Georgia Tech. What was the place they played back when we played?
They renovated that now.
Okay, it was a dome. It was kind of like U-Haul a little bit, right?
Yeah, they. It's actually nice. They redid the inside. Probably seats about the right number for yeah. them. It's nice in there.
All right, Dougie. Always great. Even if you don't have specific. You got another one real quick?
I forgot I only had one question tonight. I'm sorry, Mark. Does Fresh have three tickets for Saturday against BC?
You're all set, Fresh.
Hey, that was my only question.
So Mark, I still see six in the chat. What is that?
You see six in the chat.
What does that mean? Six questions that we need to read, or what's that?
Yes, there are six questions. I'm not sure where you see that.
Oh, okay. My bad.
To give us all a remedial course. And
can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you.
Why can't I see you guys?
Because you're watching the chats, Jay.
I'm back.
You're looking at the chats, probably.
All right, we ready for the questions?
Hey, somebody type, I love Jay Willie or Jay Willie Show. Tell them thanks. I can't see the name. I don't have my glasses.
Yeah, that was a while ago. They said, I love me some Jay Willie.
There you go. Tell them thank you.
Thank you.
Who was it, Mark? Could you didn't see?
I can't remember. Spencer, there it is. William Jurnell.
There you go. Thanks, Will. Oh, you got a question.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, please do.
That's what happens, right? That's why I put my glasses on. How do you keep the guys on the bench with upside motivated and ready? Its transfer portal game is savage. And at what point do you encourage a guy to move on for their own good?
That's a great question. Yeah. You constantly have to keep them motivated. And that's just encouraging them to continue to work, get in the gym with them. But more importantly, don't let them beat themselves up. Because the hardest thing for coaches is playing everybody. I mean, if he could, he'd do it in a heartbeat. But you want to win games, and you got to put the right guys on the floor at the right time, right matchups, all of that. Yes, the transfer portal is savage. And if we could keep everybody happy, we would. And Yeah, sometimes guys got to go. We don't want any to go. But we understand sometimes they got to do what's best for them and what their families think are best for them. But it's the game. There's always been transfers. It just hadn't always been go play right away, which makes it easier to do now. But guys have always, for whatever reasons, have transferred. But if we had it our way, we would want them all to be patient, all to put in the work and know that it's a process and that at some point we do think they can help us. And they've got to be ready when the time is right.
Thank you, William. We got six more questions. We're going to try to get to all of them. B-Dragon's got a part 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, awesome. Mark, are you going to read these to me? Because I'm
going to read them to you. Don't worry. Okay.
All right.
It's from Schmitty. 1, 2, 3, 4. Game is on the line. UVA is down by one. What player gets the last shot of all former Hoos that you've coached? That is a goodie, Schmitty.
Of everyone we coached? Who gets the shot or who hits the shot?
Who gets the shot?
Who are we drawing something up for? Whoo, that's a hard one.
That's a really, really good one.
I'm glad I don't have to answer that because I ain't the head coach.
Well, this
here it is. It depends on who's got it going that night. That's who we're drawing it up for. And we got a lot of those guys that had it going. So I'm just going to leave it there.
Sorry, Schmitty. Great question. All right, here's my man, B-Dragon. He's got part 1, 2, and 3. 1A, biggest surprise of the season thus far?
Big surprise as far as personnel?
Biggest surprise of the season thus far.
So
I think the intention is which player
has been the biggest surprise. Yep. That's an easy one. I think that's Ryan Dunn. You know, with the class that he came in with, there was talk about potential sitting out and redshirting. But I think he's been a pleasant surprise. But I think a lot of guys on staff knew what we were getting with him. Didn't know it happened so quickly, but we knew the type of player he could be.
At what point, what was the turning point? Was there one turning point or just a few things specifically?
No, I think it was it just over the practices, going overseas. You know, that Italian trip was huge to be able to see the guys and watch them compete and go against different competition. And he played well over there. And so I think coming back, you kind of knew you had some versatility with his size and we had been missing that. And so, you know, is he a 3? Is he a 4? It doesn't matter. He's just a ball player. He's a good ball player with good size.
Least favorite road trip.
Least favorite road trip. Oh. Notre Dame or Syracuse, they're a tie. Wow. Every time we go, there's snow on the ground and it's cold and it's overcast. I don't like going. I don't like those places.
I can understand that. A couple of times I went to Syracuse, ridiculously cold. I keep saying I don't know why anybody would want to go to school here. Why would anybody want to play sports there? Thoughts on Mambo Sauce?
Mambo Sauce, that's a DC thing. Believe it or not, I lived in DC for 4 years. I probably have never had Mambo Sauce. But it's a sauce that they put on chicken up in DC. It's supposed to be really good. So I don't necessarily know. I know what it is, but I've never had it.
Okay. There you go, B-Dragon. All right, one to Rich in 34. Do you guys plan to fill all 13 slots every year?
Who? That I don't know. I think that remains to be seen. Just depends on the makeup of the roster, you know, and what it's going to look like at the end of each year.
All right, moving on to Haney. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Do we continue to scout guys who have committed, signed NIL, NLIs, which I think he meant
NIL. The letter of intent, national letter of intent,
yeah.
NLI.
Yeah, you know what? That's correct. NLIs, yes.
Yep. Do we continue to recruit them?
Scout guys who have committed and signed NLIs.
Not necessarily. You know, you kind of pay attention to potential maybe coaching changes if that stuff happens at the end of the year. And so you look at who was on the roster, who signed, who committed, who may do that. But for the most part, I know me personally, once a kid goes somewhere else, I moved on. Once they commit and sign elsewhere, I'll move on unless something changes at the end.
Okay. He's got a few questions to his. He's got a 1AB, I think, in C2. In an age where the portal is so much more important to roster construction than previous, staffs have to make player personnel decisions in April, May, before they have incoming freshmen on campus or grounds. If you are one of the many people who like to refer to UVA like it's a golf course, to what extent does the staff, or should the staff, scout guys like Blake Buchanan to determine what he will be able to contribute come November 2023? In other words, how does the staff figure out the delta between summer 2022 Blake and fall 2023 Blake, or do they?
Man, that's like an SAT question right there.
It is.
So in other words, if we're scouting Blake and you're anticipating what he's going to be, but you got to go into the portal potentially to grab a guy, are you valuing Blake over going? Is that right? I think that's the intention. Am I along the lines? I told you I'm a simplistic guy. We needed Blake. We needed a guy like him. We scouted him for who his. What his long term was going to be, you got to address the needs of the team depending on what happens at the conclusion of this year. So if he's ready and he can contribute, he'll have a chance to contribute. I hope I'm answering that correctly. Did you get the sense that that's what the gist of that, Mark?
I think so. Haney can get on.
When he said the delta, then I knew I was screwed up.
Haney can jump on Fresh's forum and give Fresh an explanation if that's not correct. Jazznut, UVA, as a player and as a coach, do away games really feel more difficult? Some players I've heard in an interview said that they like away games more because of the villain feel. Do you think any of our players thrive more on the road?
I think it's easier, quite honestly, to play on the road. As a player, as a coach, there's less distractions. You get on the road. You're in the hotel. You kind of focus more. You may not be acclimated to the gym per se But once you get in there, you get a couple shots up pregame, the night before, if we can get a walkthrough. I always thought it was easier on the road, less pressure. And it's easy to play when you are. You can go in with that, underdog mentality and I thought play. You ain't worried about as many tickets for home games. And you didn't go to class that day. It's all basketball on the road.
Yep. Okay. I'm not going to debate that point because we're close to running out of time. And we got our last question from Who and True. Any recruiting trips this week? And how do you recruit when you think you're going to have a lot of people open scholarships, but at the same time, and this is a great question, you have no roster clarity until the spring transfers, COVID extra years, and any 2023 additions?
Yeah, well, you know what you got in 23, right? You know those guys that are committed. You know what you got coming back, hopefully. And then you just got to, you know, wherever there's some holes, you may have to plug now with the portal. And I think that is, you know, that is what college basketball is right now. And so, you know, I foresee us going into the portal and grabbing a guy or two.
It's tough to compete for a first year with somebody who's got 3-4 years experience, right? Who's good. Like, those guys are desirable.
Well, 100%. Now, you also, you know, we've got to do our due diligence. We can't just go get anybody because, you know, we got a need. They've got to fit culturally what we're about. They've got to, you know, fit the university. And so we're not just going to go grab anybody out of the portal. I mean, I think and I think our record speaks for itself. We've done a good job getting the right kind of guy in here to help us.
Once again, the questions reflecting how intelligent the UVA locker room access audience is. So thank you, everyone, for sending your questions. Big congratulations to Dougie. Did not have to use the bell one time.
Oh, is that a new one?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Christmas present.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, I'm watching. What's the Boston College? I can't see the score. What you got, Mark?
Louisville was up 10 a while ago. I'll give you that report in 2 seconds. Once again, another great job by you.
Thank
on
you.
On your own show.
I think I like being in my wife's office. This is not bad.
It's a nice feel, but I miss the UVA champions in the background, and I miss the Jay Willie Show poster.
I may just have to bring that down here.
I like that. That's a good idea. That's a good. Will she be okay? Will Carmina be okay with you redecorating her office?
She won't be okay with me redecorating, and as long as she's not working, I should be fine. But most nights she's probably in here. well beyond this. So
Dougie says you need a rocking chair in there.
No, I do. I need this chair. We're gonna have to get her a new chair.
Louisville 35, BC 34, 18 minutes left to go.
Oh, we got a ball game. I gotta go watch the second half.
All right. There it is. Thanks for coming back on your own show. Appreciate it. Another great job. We are sponsored by Rhines and Rogers, where Charlottesville gets engaged. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. We will see you hopefully next week after BC and Cuse.
Take care. All right. Good to see you, Mark. Have a good one.
You too.